All-Australian captain of season 2019, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. Nathan, welcome and congratulations.
Gary, Tim, thanks. Good morning. Thank you.
Where does it sit in terms of, I mean, you've been an All-Australian before, you've won a Brownlow medal. Where does captaining the best team in the country sit?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, to be honest, Gary. It's an honorary position in an honorary team, so it's not like it's been selected by the players. It's not like we have to go out and play a team as such. So from that perspective, as a pragmatic person looking at it, not sure where it sits just yet, but when you look at the names of previous winners of the captaincy, no doubt in the future I'll hold it in really high esteem.
Hey, congratulations. Did you feel that you've had one of your best seasons? How would you compare it to, say, your Brownlow year in 2015?
Yeah, I think this has been my best season so far, Tim. Most consistent and working through a number of challenges. With Lachie Neale going, there was a little bit more scrutiny. You had to deal with more attention from Tigers. Not to mention that this year, from a leadership perspective, comparative to 2015, was a lot more challenging. We didn't have our best players on the park. We lost some games we should have won. We only scraped out 9 wins, albeit some really high-quality wins against good opposition. In 2015, we won 9 of our first games straight, and the show just ran itself. So I finished off the year pretty strongly this year. I think I ranked this as my best so far.
When you talk about those challenges and, you know, you're the leader and you're the captain of a football club and there's so much speculation about your coach and if he's going to be there, if he's not going to be there, whether the players want him or they don't, and players wanting to move from the club, Brad Hill, that type of thing. What sort of leadership do you provide internally when all that's going on?
Yeah, it's a challenging environment to be in. And as leaders, we try and provide stability and guidance. It gets frustrating at times when you're constantly dealing with speculation, rumours and innuendo. You have to keep addressing it, and there's only so many times you can keep going back to the players and saying, in the four walls, we know what's going on. Don't read what's going on the outside. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it fracture us and pull us apart. It'd be nice to get some clean air and a good run. And I think that was part of the reason why the board had to act and make a decision.
So if just say you get that clean air and a good run, what describe your leadership style then. What is it? Is it more of what I do, more of what I say? Just talk us through that.
Me personally?
Yeah.
My leadership style, it starts really with role modelling behaviour that we want from our players, building relationships, and then working with our other leaders to make sure we're all on the same page. We've got Joel Hamling and Reece Conker, who are very big people, I would call them, very good at connecting with all the playing group, and with those two in particular, along with Alex Pearce, I try and make sure we have touch points across the whole group. My skill set is more in on-field leadership and driving standards and accountability, and I get those guys in and around me to help support the rest of the group and make sure everyone feels like we're on the same page.
Brad Hill, we had his manager on here yesterday, Fifey, and he said that, you know, he's definitely out of the place. He wants to come back to Victoria. How disappointing is that to you from a personnel perspective? Because he is one of your best players. He's been outstanding this year for Fremantle.
Yeah, it's going to be a big loss if Brad ends up going. We had a number of conversations over the last few weeks, and particularly the last couple of days, about where he sits with his family and his reasons for wanting to leave. It's disappointing. We'd like him to see out his contract, but in the same breath, he's a good mate of mine, and the contribution he's made to Fremantle is not to be underestimated. And the AFL's constantly working to create this environment where more player movement is happening through mid-season trades, free agency and the like. So this is not out of the realms of what was possible.
Did you try and talk him out of it?
Quickly. I said, if it's money, I'll make a transfer right now if you want. he's got a few other reasons.
We are with Nathan Fyfe, who's been named to the honorary, albeit honorary, but very highly regarded position of All-Australian captain. Should you be consulted by the people searching for a new coach of Fremantle?
That's an interesting question, and I spoke to Scotty Pendlebury a bit about it last night. I think there's a level that's appropriate, but the tail can't be wagging the dog. So I'll give my opinion from a player point of view and captain point of view where it's asked, and work closely with Peter Bell and Luke McFarlane, who's on the selection committee, and also Peter Mann. But I'll be used more as a bouncing board if questions come my way.
What sort of coach would you like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the game's moving towards coaches that are good at connecting with people, building good culture, making sure that there's strong empathy and understanding. And whatever coach we get, hopefully they're supported and balanced out well by an assistant coaching panel that has a range of experience, and maybe some guys that are recently out of the game, along with a few assistant coaches that we already have. So that's a pretty broad answer. And I guess you don't really know if senior coaches are going to be a right fit or the right person or are ready until they get their hands on the steering wheel and start driving the club forward.
Was Ross those things that you just outlined as part of what you believe is the right coach to take Fremantle forward?
Ross is an unbelievable coach. Coaches like him don't just grow on trees, and I've got no doubt he'll be back in the AFL system. He had his own unique style, and it was very successful in a number of clubs. And he changed his style over the last 4 years. It's been quite evident. So he's clearly the board are looking for something different. Otherwise, they would have carried on with Ross.
You talk about those changes. We actually talked about this once after a game where, you know, he was out there and he was hugging the players and he was quite demonstrative in terms of, you know, the emotion that he was exhibiting at that time. Is that sort of one of the changes that you noticed in his behaviour over that period of time?
Yeah. I think the optics of leadership, when you're dealing with eyeballs watching you all the time, and social media plays a big part in that, the optics of leadership do play a big role. And whilst Ross has got enormously powerful relationships with his players behind closed doors, there might have been a need to more overtly show that in public.
Hey, All-Australian night last night, and you spoke about the fact that it's an honorary role because the team doesn't play. I know the State of Origin debate gets brought up all at every time, but I'm looking for... Last night, I think State of Origin teams should have been named as well. So Western Australia should have named their State of Origin team, and those players in that team should be recognised at the end of their career as five-time state players without having played the game. Do you think that's something we should be looking at? And would you like to see the game played, which is the old, you know, chestnut?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about acknowledging them. It could be interesting. The game itself, I didn't really grow up with State of Origin, so it's not something that I have really aspired to play. Albeit said, if there was a game on the line and the best players in the country were playing, then you'd want to be a part of it. So I think at some stage we'll relook at it and get back involved, but clubs are so protective now of when their players can play, it's going to take a few logistics to get the thing off the ground again.
Talking to Nat Fyfe, it's 10 minutes to 9, named All-Australian captain last night, which is a great honour, done just about everything in the game. What about the teams left in this final series? Who of those do you like the most, Nat?
There's a few. I think Geelong have timed their run pretty well. They had that week over in Perth where we knocked them off, but I reckon that's going to set them up for the next month of footy. I like what Bulldogs are doing coming from nowhere. They're a good story and everyone will jump on their coattails, I'm sure, if they keep getting the wins. And Brisbane are a side that, with Dane Zorko, Lachie Neal playing their career best footy, and they're riding that wave of emotion as well, they could do anything.
And as we let you go, what happens now? Do you get away and try and have your break now, or you got to hang around? We've got the Brownlow Medal, of course, which you need to be around for. What's your movements?
Yeah, I've got to... hang around for a few formal functions. I'll play a role over the next month with the club as we try and appoint new CEO and senior coach. I'm probably going to get some off-season surgery, which is going to ruin my surfing trip to Peru. But we'll just see what happens over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
You like collecting toys. You've got the B-double. You've got the helicopter. You've got the ocean liner. You're going to add a Gulfstream jet or something to your collection of toys during the off-season?
We'll see what happens.
Hey, thanks for joining. We don't get to chat too often. Always nice to do it, and congratulations again. Great honour.
Thanks very much, guys.